The OTB Brief. Everything you need to know about sport every morning. Need to get on top of the day's sports news? Well, the OTB Brief is the only sports update you'll need every morning. With all the breaking stories, post-match reaction.
They had one more day to rest. We were really in trouble. Really in trouble to build the team.
And the best bits from off the ball, all in a 10-minute podcast.
Oh, sweaty palms. Of course, you guys know what it's like, but... That was nervy.
The OTB Brief, online every morning from 7 a.m. on offtheball.com, the Go Loud app, and everywhere you get your podcasts. The OTB Podcast Network.
Now, you're very welcome back. We're joined by Paul McGinley. Good evening.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. How are you? Tired, I would suspect.
I'm very tired. Yeah, we had long nights. 4 o'clock every morning, but anyway, we're on the road to recovery.
Yeah, I'd say it's like jet lag. So Colin Morikawa, 23 years of age, he's played in just 29 events. He's managed to win three of them, two PGA Tour events, a major no less. 65 on the Saturday, 64 on a Sunday. That is 129, the lowest weekend score in a major ever. And we are not talking about a flash in the pan player here, it would seem.
No, absolutely not. Well, he certainly hit the ground running in his career since he's turned pro, only his second year. He looks to be the full deal, Joe. The weakest part of his game over the last year since he's turned professional has been his putting. Not that it was way off the scale bad, but, last week he was number one in putting for the week. And when you combine that with all the good play from tee to green, you have a winner. And, some clutch shots down the stretch, which got the job done and separated away from a field that was very tight. Seven players led at one stage in the back nine.
Yeah, it was exceptionally tight. So for lots of people, I suspect, who had the good sense to go to bed and get up for work today, they haven't seen it yet. And I mean, as you said, I mean, even to the end, this thing was really, really tight. Morikawa has finished two shots clear of, Dustin Johnson, Casey on 11 under, bunch of guys on 10 under, including Jason Day, who's back in great form. DeChambeau was coming for him. Finau was there. Scheffler held steady. He on 14, slice of luck, chipped in. But then, especially on 16, Paul, when he was one shot clear, it would have been very understandable if a 23-year-old one shot clear decided not to go for that drivable par four. Man, he did the opposite.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that difficult, to be honest, Joe. Okay. I think everybody in the field would have gone for that. It's not like there was a water hazard there or something that they were trying to avoid or had to carry. It was a little fade around the trees. He hit it beautifully and he got a good bounce, but you need good breaks to win tournaments. His ball came off the camber on the side of the green and rolled down towards the flag. Moments earlier, we'd seen DeChambeau hit exactly the same shot with a 3-wood that caught the same camber and rolled to the right. And he made a birdie, but wasn't happened to be an eagle. Mm. It was a fabulous shot at just the right time. They moved the tee box up by 40 yards yesterday to entice players to go for it. There were seven eagles on that hole yesterday. It was the easiest hole on the golf course. But still, it had to be done in the heat of competition. And you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
A slight technical point and tangent. Why were a bunch of guys trying to draw that shot at 16 as opposed to hit the fade? It didn't seem to make sense from an eyeline point of view on TV anyway.
No sense to me whatsoever, Joe, because the pin was on the right-hand side. The wind was into off the left and the camber on the fairway was left to right. And if you wanted to miss it, you wanted to make sure you missed it on the left, not on the right. So I have no idea why they were doing that, Joe. But again, you know what? A lot of these modern players, they've got a very sterile ball flight now. They don't work the ball left to right, right to left at will. They play one-dimensional and it's just pretty much a bash straight in the air. And they don't kind of finesse the ball around the golf course. And those players who do that got caught yesterday because that required a left to right shape of shot. And that's why all credit to Morikawa, who's a ball striker, very much. Look at his ball striking. His statistics are just phenomenal ball striking. And, he used TaylorMade's equipment. And I was speaking to one of the guys today, the guys who fit him in America, and getting some download on what he does. And they just said it's just absolutely phenomenal how he hits the golf ball and how consistent he is hitting the golf ball. Not one of the power hitters, but at the same time, he hits it a decent distance. But really, his ball control with the irons, particularly the longer irons, is pretty sensational.
Yeah, he's been averaging 296 on the PGA Tour, which is kind of like, not embarrassing. You're getting around. He hit 14 of 16 fairways. And even, you've obviously been watching the golf closely post-lockdown. When he won at Muirfield against Justin Thomas a couple of weeks back, he was ballsy on, I think, the 14th there. There was water down the right. He took the driver out. Yeah. He went for that. But under pressure on both occasions, this tournament and a couple of weeks ago, that swing doesn't seem to come unstuck under pressure. I mean, he's metronomic.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's not paint too much of a picture of him in that regard. Yes, that was brilliant, and what he did in Murfree Village was brilliant. But go back to the Charles Schwab 2 weeks earlier, and you know, when he played a playoff hole and he hit a 6-iron off the tee and hit it 30 yards right into the trees and ended up making bogey and losing that playoff hole.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, nobody's infallible from pressure. And the main thing is to learn from it. He obviously did that from the Charles Schwab, as Daniel Berger went on to win that. This guy was on a good run. You know, we look at a lot of the reasons why guys win tournaments, Joe. And, you know, form is certainly one of them. You know, he was coming in here on the back of form, having a good run. The world was looking down very favorably on him. Things were happening for him. He had a win in a tournament. He's having a great run. He's full of excitement coming out on tour. He was playing in California. He's a California boy. He played a lot of golf on this golf course growing up, amateur, knew the golf course very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, things are lined up for him. So, you know, as great as his performance was, let's not move him into the Tiger Woods category yet. You know, he's got time to evolve into that.
Okay, point taken, and maybe a case in point. One of the most arresting images, total other end of the spectrum from the whole week, was Thursday, and the shots from afar of Jordan Spieth sat on the driving range. I think it must have been Cameron McCormick, his coach, he was chatting to. Is this guy coming back?
Well, I mean, who knows? He certainly seems to have the desire to come back, Joe. All I can say from my experience of being on tour, I've yet to see a player lose his status, lose his game, lose everything he had from underwork. Everybody that I've seen does it from overwork. Paralysis by analysis, Gary Player says. You become so obsessed. You become so scientific. You treat the game as a science. You lose your natural flair. You lose your ability to play the game and to compete the way you should. And you overthink it. And that's what Jordan is at the moment. He's not the first player to have done that. I've done that myself many times. I don't think there's a player who hasn't done it. And the team around him now is really important, that they draw him away from that precipice of going over that and down that road, because that's not where the answer is. He's never been a technically perfect guy. He's never been a guy who hit the ball a million miles. Don't try to be either of those two things. Be what Jordan Spieth is. Be as good as you were, not just in terms of your iron play and your wedge play, but you were a fabulous putter. You never rarely got in your own way. And, you know, that's your DNA, and just get better at your DNA. And yes, you're never going to hit the ball like some of the best players, but that's OK. You've won plenty of majors not doing that.
Mm. DeChambeau says he feels validated after this first major with his new game. Do you go along with that?
Yeah, absolutely. This guy's the real deal, Joe. This guy is a real deal. There's more to come from him. He's got a heart of a lion as well to go with it. Full of intensity, full of desire. A little bit unlucky yesterday, could well have won that tournament. I think ultimately, if he looks back, he didn't lose it yesterday. He lost it over the first 3 days, a little bit too far away going into the Sunday with the quality of players that were ahead of him. A little too many mistakes. But you know what? You learn from those. This guy is a real deal. Him and Wolf in particular were the two guys, and Casey. Those guys really stood out for me yesterday. Yes, of course, a lot of guys played really well and kind of nearly won or could have won. But those guys, I thought, wow, there's more to come from those guys in particular.
The surprise yesterday was Koepka. I mean, in a way, the tournament caught fire when you realised he was off his game in those opening few holes. What was going on there? I know he's kind of double-crossing himself a little bit, but you expect him to fix anything at times.
You would like to think so, Joe. You know, there's a guy coming in with no form for a number of months, and then all of a sudden found form the week before. They found something technically in his game that fixed it. But, you know, speaking and knowing Claude Harmon quite well, who's his coach, he's, you know, over the last few years, they've always talked about he is scared of hitting the ball left. He is a predominantly left or right player. He's a power hitter. But when he starts hitting it left, he gets really unnerved. Because he goes for his fade and he hits what we call a double cross and he hits a draw, and now he's completely off the planet with his shots. And now he doesn't know if he's going to overcut it or if he's going to pull it, and his confidence goes down. That's what they tried to fix, and that's what they did fix the week before in Memphis. But obviously that snuck back in under the pressure of Sunday yesterday. He played really poorly yesterday from the first shot where he hit that double cross and hit it way left. He was not at the races. So, you know, Jack Nicklaus always said, one of the great lines from Nicklaus is, golf is a game of adjustments, and you've got to have ownership of your game. And in the heat of competition, you need to be able to fix your ball flights. And that's something that probably the lesson that he's going to have to take away from that, to say, right, I need to get to the bottom of this, and I need to have a feel and a shot to go to. When I feel that I'm going to hit it left, I need to have a shot to go to. So this game is constantly evolving, even for a player as great as Brooks is.
Let's talk Rory then. It's another major where he doesn't really feature. at the beginning and certainly not at the business end. Just an interesting clip from him speaking afterwards. He was obviously asked about his now 6-year inability to get things done at the majors. Here's what he said.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not as good as I used to be. I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like the golf that I've played in the majors has been sort of similar to the golf I've played outside of them, and I've won some big events and played well, and you know, had a good season last season. Yeah, I can't really put my finger on it. I go out there and try my best every single day. You know, some days I play better than others, and you know, just got to keep going and keep persisting, and you know, see if you can do better the next time.
He's never a dull interview, that's for sure. What a fascinating thing that we now know has crossed his brain, even if it's just a brief offhand, semi-jokey moment. Maybe I'm not as good as I used to be. That brainwave is even in there, and certainly that he's even thrown it out there to the media, to himself. You go back 6 months, and I mean, he looked nailed on for the Masters. What did you see over this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not buying he's not good enough. He is fabulously good enough. The previous up to the lockdown, he played the best golf of his life, Joe. Statistics will illustrate that. His wins will illustrate that. His performances of top fives and top tens will illustrate that. That's not that long ago. That was back to the end, March, up to March. He's lost his confidence. He's lost his intensity. I've been saying that for a while. He's not the same guy at the moment. And you know what? Sometimes that happens. You've got to ride through it, not overthink it. You know, and understand and give the reasons to yourself honestly as to why you've lost your intensity. Is it the crowds, and you know, is it something off the course? We don't know. I mean, he hasn't said anything. We don't know about that. But certainly, he's not the player he was before, and he's making a lot of mistakes. He had 13 bogeys and a triple bogey last week. You know, when you look at the leaders, are only making 3 and 4 bogeys. You know, you're not going to win major championships with that. And that looks like a guy who's, you know, making too many mistakes. The concentration levels are not there. The intensity levels, like I've been saying for the last 2 or 3 months, are not there. I don't see it's a really technical problem. And we've seen this a lot from Rory. You know, he goes into a slumber, and then he'll come out of it again and he'll take off. So, you know, as fans of Rory and, you know, fellow countrymen of Rory, we've just got to sit back, and it's part of the DNA of who he is, you know, and he'll come out of this. He's just gone into that kind of a slumber of mediocre performances, and he's down on himself, and he doesn't have the energy levels that he would normally have, and all of a sudden then something will ignite him, and he'll be up and running again. So I wouldn't be overly concerned, and I certainly don't think that he's not as good as he used to be. Yes, there are some guys coming onto the pitch that weren't on there before, and they are full of that desire and intensity, but Rory's got a game every bit, and if not better than all of those.
At Arizona State University, we offer a wide variety of degree programs online to match all kinds of interests and career aspirations. Programs that are taught by the same notable faculty who teach on campus and designed using innovative technology to improve learning outcomes and equip you for post-graduation success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates indicated they were promoted at work or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Find your program at asuonline.asu.edu.
Yeah. I was watching round two, and I think you were in commentary at the time, and you know, you called it straight away, and it continued for much of that round until he suddenly ignited later on and got birdies, I should add. But it was a start on the 10th, and he stitches a wedge off the gate, and then on the 11th he's a stunningly good drive, and his wedge is effectively misses the green short and right, and then he's got the par 3 where incidentally he could have taken a better drop and insisted for the integrity of the game of taking a lesser drop. But again, it was right with his wedges, or, you know, certainly wasn't a long iron. And I get that the slumber point, okay, and the intensity point, and maybe for reasons we don't know, he hasn't been able to practice as much as he likes, or who knows what's going on. We're working off glimpses. Why is his wedge game so volatile? You know, that it's so good however many months ago, okay, it mightn't be razor sharp, but there seems to be this degree of all or nothing at times with his wedge play in particular.
Yeah, again, Joe, I mean, you know, again, not overthinking or overanalyzing it. There is no technical reason for that. You know, there used to have a lot of flash speed down the bottom. Now you see him playing a lot of those sawed-off shots, which we've been saying for a number of years is the best way of controlling distance with the wedge plays.
Well, actually, sorry to interrupt. I didn't see him doing the sawed-off finish as much this week.
Did you not?
No.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, then I mean you're observing better than I am as analyst.
I doubt that. But I didn't know the sawn-off fish is a very distinctive thing with him. I thought he was finishing his wedge swing a bit more.
Well, I feel when he saws off the wedge plays, that's when he controls his spin best, and that's when he controls his height better, Joe. And I think that's, you know, that's where his wedge play was improving too. And I, again, I'm sorry to go back to the same point and,
sure,
you know, repeating. And I just think that he is not tuned in. He's not intense. He's not the normal energy levels. And when you are that, you make silly mistakes. You get sloppy. You know, you miss. You don't think straight. You're not on the edge as a competitor. Mm. And that's where he's at the moment. And I don't think there's a technical reason here. I think, you know, what we've seen from him for the last 18 months show you that he knows how to play different wedges and different distances. He's obviously dialed that in. You ask good questions about, is he practicing enough or as much as he has been? Has the fact that he basically self-admitted took 2 or 3 months off during the COVID and didn't hit a shot at all, has that now coming back to haunt him? We don't know that because he hasn't spoken about it, but they could be all reasons, but I don't see a technical reason there. He certainly has the ability. And I just think that, for some reason, his intensity and his concentration levels have just dropped off. But I'm still pretty confident that something is going to ignite him. It could be this year, it could be next year, but something will ignite him and he'll burst back into, you know, winning and competing again.
Okay. Tiger Woods is kind of trying to do the miraculous, isn't he, turning up at these majors the way he is?
I think so, yeah. It's very difficult. I don't care how good a competitor you are, and Tiger Woods is the best. It's very hard to go from no golf and then turn up against these guys. I mean, look at these guys, how sharp and how hungry and how, I mean, just look at the intensity level of somebody like DeChambeau. I mean, this guy wants it so bad, Joe. Morikawa, Wolf. I mean, these guys were racing towards the line on Sunday. They're full of ambition. They're full of desire. And it's very difficult when you're not competitive and you haven't been competitive to turn up and all of a sudden turn on the ignitions to the same intensity levels that these guys have. He knows that. I mean, that's the most down I've ever heard Tiger Woods in all his press conferences post this week. I listened to them all. Mm. And you know, and he made the point that Rory was, and maybe I'm not as good as I was. And you know, it's different now. And the golf course is all of a sudden become, I feel that they're very long to me. And the guys are hitting the ball further to me, you know. So these are all things that the growing pains of age. I've been through those myself. And, you know, not only are you getting shorter, but the other guys are getting longer. And you see also they're hungry. They smell blood and they are hungry for success. And if you're Tiger Woods or Paul McGinley, it doesn't matter. They're stamping all over you because they have an intention of winning these big tournaments. And that's great for us as observers of the game. But it's a tough place for Tiger Woods to be. In fact, it's a tough place for anybody when they get into their 40s in the professional sport of golf.
Yeah, it must be miserable. He knows he's not giving himself the best chance, but he can't do much about it. He was asked by Amanda Baleonis afterwards, when will we see you again? And he said, soon. And she asked him specifically, when will we see you again? And he said, I told you, soon. Like, it's conceivable he rocks up at the US Open. We don't see him before that. Augusta will suit him. Will Wingfoot suit him at the US Open? I mean, are we looking at Woods kind of at Augusta and maybe an Open as there is kind of chances for the kind of dying of the light over the next 2, 3, 4 years?
Yeah, I think in all probability, yeah, there is best chances. Certainly Augusta is, you know, Augusta is a course where you got to be clever, have a lot of guile and brilliant approach play. We all know how good his iron play still is, still one of the best on tour with his iron play. His putting, you know, he won the Zozo last year and putted incredibly well doing that. But his putting is not to the level that it used to be. I mean, I've been trawling over the stats for the last in preparation for last week and looking at Tiger at his best. And, you know, because my question to myself was, you know, why is John Rahm world number one, then Justin Thomas, then Rory McIlroy, and, you know, Dustin Johnson maybe coming back shortly again. And why are they not able to hold him? And there's just one thing that's just standing out like a beacon. As much as they play tee to green brilliantly, all of those players, they do not put year in, year out as good as Tiger used to put. He was consistently in the top five ranked for the year in the putting statistics. Right. These guys are not. You know, as great of players as they are, they have their hot weeks and they have their hot spells. And we've seen Rory in a hot spell there for about 9 months. Which has ended now, but he was really good with the putter for that 9 months. But now he's drifted back to being a very mediocre putter again. And that's what made him so special. And putting is a huge ingredient, as we know, in the game. And it's the reason why Morikawa, number one in putting, I'll go back to it again, as to why he won this week.
Yeah, he's 140th usually. So, he caught fire this week. You think I'm blowing up Morikawa a little bit? I mean, are we looking at two major wins and 12, 13 kind of PGA Tour victories type?
Yeah, I wouldn't say blowing up is not fair, but I think the landscape is very different, Joe. We have to respect the landscape that he's playing in. At the moment, the cards are falling for him. At the moment, life is great. Things are happening. He's winning. That's not always the case, as we see with Jordan Spieth, as we see with Rory McIlroy. And how he deals with those downturns will be the crucial factor in terms of where he's coming, you know, how far he's going to go in the game. The game doesn't always throw you the same hand all the time. And how he deals with those is going to be the big question, because what he doesn't have is a dynamic game that's far superior than anybody else's.
Yeah.
What he has is a brilliant game that you could paint 10 guys of a game just as good as his. So, you know, Rory McIlroy had a brilliant game that was an extra gear better than everybody else. And that's why he dominated when he was winning those major championships. And that's why they came in quick succession, because he had an extra gear others didn't. The landscape is different now. Morikawa was in a different landscape. You know, the cards fell for him yesterday, but they didn't fall for Paul Casey. They didn't fall for Wolf, and they didn't fall for DeChambeau. And all three of those players actually played better than, if you look at the statistics, whether that be fairways hit, distance, whether that be greens in regulation, they played just as good, if not better than them. And that's the nature of the game. So that's why I would question that. Yes, he's a great player. Yes, great credit. Big star now, top 10 in the world. But is he going to be another Tiger Woods, and is he going to run off into the sunset as a dominant player for 10 years? I'd question that.
Okay. Don't worry, says the grizzled old pro. Life will get you. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, life gets us all, Joe.
It sure does.
But just going back to the golf course, Joe, I just want to make a point of the golf course. And just before I come on here, I was checking a bit of social media to see what people were saying regarding yesterday. And, you know, there's a bit of a narrative out there about, oh, you know, so much for everybody saying it was a big hitter's golf course. And Morikawa was ranked 51st in driving distance for the week, and the shorter hitter still gets it done. There's always outliers. And if you look at the rest of the top 10 players, they were littered with big hitters. The average, I just did a quick calculation there, the average distance that players hit in the top 10, you know, the other nine, was about 15th. So it was very much a big hitter's golf course. But when you output everybody else, you're going to get the job done. And he hit good fairways. And the key for him, because he's not one of the dominant players off the tee, is to hit a lot of fairways. And he hit a lot of fairways this week, because he led that category, and secondly, he put it better than anybody, and that's how he gets the job done. That's his DNA. It's important, if I was going to give a little bit of advice to him going forward, that he sticks to that DNA and he doesn't think, right, now I need to get to the next level, now I need to become Bryson, now I need to chase distance, because that's when you get into trouble. That's what we've seen with Jordan Spieth.
Last point for you, Brooks Koepka is bringing a slightly new element to the game in that he, I guess it's trash talking to some extent or other. I mean, everyone kind of laughs when it was Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, it was like everyone, give Bryson a kicking, that's kind of in vogue. So he was asked on the Saturday night about, you know, the leaderboard as it stood, and he was pretty disparaging about Dustin Johnson. He was like, I like my chances. When I've been in this position before, I've capitalized. Johnson, or Dustin, he said, has only won one. DJ's been in the spot a few times. He hasn't been able to capitalize. Now, maybe non-golfing people are like, what is so outrageous about that? But it was put to McIlroy, actually, who was watching on the TV on the Saturday when he saw that interview. He kind of an interesting point about Koepka's comments. Have a listen.
Yeah, when I heard, I was watching the golf last night and heard the interview, and just sort of taken aback a little bit by sort of what he said and whether he was trying to play mind games or not. If he's trying to play mind games, he's doing it to the wrong person. I don't think DJ really gives much of a concern about that, but just different. You know, I certainly try to respect everyone out here. Everyone's a great player. If you've won a major championship, you're a hell of a player. Doesn't mean you've only won one. You've won one, and you've had to do a lot of good things to do that. And yeah, I mean, sort of hard to knock a guy that's got 21 wins on the PGA Tour, which is three times what Brooks has.
Pretty interesting. I mean, I thought it was a little checking of a guy whose confidence has been celebrated, and to an extent the trash talking has. But I thought there was a degree of, well, hang on here. Is this where we're going with the game?
Listen, Joe, it's good. Come on, you like it. We all like it.
Media turns down story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all good fun. It's a bit of banter. It's a bit of slagging. I mean, he got stuck into Rory the end of last year too. And again, Rory, one of the reasons I think Rory ignited was that little barb that he was got from Brooks. And that's, listen, it's fair game. It's no big deal.
Is it fair game? So you wouldn't be in the locker room going, what's that about?
No, listen, you can get in your high horse if you want, and you say, oh, you got to respect your opponents and all of those things. You know, and the important thing is, Brooks, only Brooks can answer this question. You know, two things went wrong for him yesterday. A, he hit the ball all over the golf course. Mm. And B, the second question is, was he affected by that interview and the fact that he got lashed on social media and lashed in the media from a lot of people, including Rory, for having that comment and that affect his mental preparation for going out in the last round? We don't know that. Only Brooks can answer that question. Yeah. But listen, for me, it's fair game. It's not a big deal.
Okay. Now, look, he's box office, isn't he? From a guy no one wanted to interview 2 years ago. Yeah. Meanwhile, Hao Tung Lee is still on the driving range, we're told, unconfirmed reports. Oh, my God. Could someone not have dragged him off?
Oh, I know. He's a great guy. He's a hard worker, you know. But, you know, people go, we all go and practice after play, you know, leading a major championship. And here was the big problem, Joe. The big problem was he played at 11 minutes past 7 that morning. So he had finished early at lunchtime, had his lunch, and came back and was still out doing that practice later on. You're leading the tournament. Energy levels are so important. You know, they all have sports scientists now. And one of the big things is sports science. In fact, the biggest thing, the sports scientists, and you watch them wearing those Whoop watches and all those things that they're wearing now and Fitbits and all of those things. It's all to get data because these sports scientists who are overseeing everything they do, including their diet, including their training, including their practice. It's all about energy levels. And I just felt that was an inexperienced decision there from Hao Tung and his team to let him do that. Mm. That was my call. Look, and I think a lot of people disagreed with me, but listen, that's my experience. I've yet to see a professional golfer who would have done that leading a major championship.
Okay. Well, listen, super coverage on Sky over the weekend. Thanks a million.
You're welcome. Thanks.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.